Would you please bow with me for a moment of prayer? Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our hearts this day. And open our hands to your power, your grace, that we might continue to grow as your church. This place that when we move, awesome and wonderful and loving things happen. So Lord, touch our hearts and remind us we are the church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. It is a joy to have Sunday school and the choir back with us. I'm not sure what to do today, you know. There's just so much happening. It's like just... But many of you who have been in this church or been in churches for a long time, or even if you've just started to come to the church, know at times that churches are funny places. There is, in every church, be it a mega church like we have some around here, or be it small rural churches where 20 people come to worship, in all churches, there is the potential for that church to expand and expound on God's grace and to feed the spiritual needs of many, many past who they are. There is the potential in every church to feed people who are literally hungry or are homeless or are broken in this world and to minister to them. There is potential in every church to give meaning to people who don't have meaning in their lives or to provide hope for people who seem to think that there is no hope in this world. And there is a potential in every church to offer the possibilities of saving grace of Jesus Christ in their spirit and in their heart, but also in how they live and how they share and what they do. And it's important, I believe, for every church to think about and talk about what it means for them to fulfill their ministry potential. And when we understand what church is about, then God moves with us in many and awesome ways. In many ways, I think the church is like an elephant. Have you heard that? Well, did you read the bulletin? And did you get my email? Because I did send an email out about that, or just a little announcement, and then this sermon title. Sometimes I think the church is like an elephant. It's a funny little place, if you will. And there's a story told. It's a folk story. It's a story that comes out of Kenya, Africa. And it's a story of a hunter. A hunter who went out and the way he made his living, the way he ate, was he shot things. He hunted things. And usually with small game, he'd get rabbits or gazelle or whatever is in Kenya. I've never been to Kenya to know. But one day he was out hunting and he was thinking, man, if I could just get something big. And sure enough, as he was hunting, he saw an elephant, and he thought, you know, I'll never get it. But he took a chance, and he aimed his best with his bow, and he shot, and sure enough, that arrow went right to the heart of the elephant, and boom. And the hunter said, man, I won't have to hunt for a long time. I will be able to eat for years. Look at all the meat that is here. My elephant will provide me all kinds of food so I can just enjoy myself for a while. But then he thought, how am I going to get my elephant home? Elephants are big critters. What am I going to do? So he gets a rope. And he ties that rope around the foot of the elephant. And he thinks, you know, maybe. And so he gives a big jerk. And guess what? The elephant didn't move. And guess what? He tried it again, real hard. And still, the elephant didn't move. He took a running start. You know how that works? Almost broke his neck as he went flying. But still, the elephant didn't move. And he said to himself, what am I going to do? You know, this wonderful thing. And he thought, you know, I'll go back to the village. They'll help me get my elephant home. And so he goes back to the village. He says, listen, you know, I shot this elephant. You know, my elephant is going to feed me for years, but I need help getting him back home. And the villager said, excuse me, whose elephant? He said, well, my elephant, I shot it, and I need to get it home. And they say, excuse me, whose elephant? And he said, well, my elephant. And say, well, we'll see you later. Have fun with your elephant. And so he wasn't stupid. And he said to himself, So he gets all the villagers back together and says, excuse me, I misspoke. I really meant our elephant. Would you help me with our elephant? And, you know, and sometimes in places it's hard to come by food. So they all came. You know, the young men, the young women, the young kids, all of them came because they wanted part of this elephant. They were all going to eat for a long time on it. Even the old people who couldn't pull, they came to cheer on. And as they started to pull, you know, they kept saying, one, two, three. And when they got after that, they all said, our elephant. And they all pulled, and the elephant moved. One, two, three, our elephant. And they pulled, and they got closer to the village. One, two, three, our elephant, and they pulled, and they kept doing that until finally somebody, there was a little dissonance. There was a little sound that didn't quite fit. And so the leader of the village walked around and talked to all the other villagers, and they said, don't say it this time. But they didn't tell the hunter. So one, two, three, then the hunter said, my elephant. And they all dropped the rope and went home. The elephant and the hunter, not being stupid, went back to the village, but took him a day and a half to convince them it was their elephant too. But finally, together, they got the elephant home. Whose church is this? This last weekend, I was at Septemberfest. Our clergy association had a booth there. And we had a number of churches, and the synagogue was there, you know, just talking about what the religious community is trying to do and is doing in the community. And a lot of people would stop who I didn't know, and they'd ask me, you know, you're a pastor? Yeah. You know, where is your church? How do we understand it? Where is your church? And I would tell them where the church is at. But isn't it interesting sometimes how we talk about things? It is the pastor's church, right? Is this Bill's church? But do we live like I'm just a piece of this church, a part of this church? Is it my elephant? Have you given me the elephant? You saw how far I could move the elephant, right? Martin Luther said, churches ought to be a place where there is a priesthood of all believers. It is not just one person. It is not those that just understand or those that are educated in the ways of religion. It is the church of all of God's people and all our priests, all our pastors, all our ministers and missionaries. When the Methodist Church started in this country, the Methodist movement swept across the United States. People got together and they said, it's our elephant. And they put hospitals together. Have you heard of a Methodist hospital? People called Methodists got together and they said, we need secondary education. And they said, it's our elephant. And have you heard of a Methodist college? Any of the Wesleyan things? Yeah, that came from us. Northwestern itself was started as a Methodist school. Methodists came together and said, it's our church. And those in the North fought and struggled so that slavery would be done away with. People in the Methodist church got together and said, it's our church. And they fought against alcohol because they saw the problems they were having in alcohol. And they helped start prohibition, which didn't work out so well. But when they worked together, they identified a problem and they tried to deal with it. People in the Methodist church said, you know, kids ought to be educated. And instead of having private Methodist schools, which you will not see many of, and preschools, yes, but secondary schools, they said all God's children need an education, and they fought strongly in the early part of our country that there might be public education, that all kids might be able to go, not just those that can afford it, because they said all, you know, this is our church, this is our 2 weeks ago, we had our administrative council meeting for the year, the fall, and one of our leaders gave a devotion, said, you know what the church is? The church is what's left when the building burns down and the pastor leaves town. That's the church. It has nothing to do with or even this. When the church burns down and the pastor leaves town, you know, that's what the church is. That those who pull the elephant, those who are a part of that. There's a wonderful pastor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We heard an annual conference this year. Reverend Grace Imathew, who is from Kenya, and I did steal the story I just told you from her. I'm about to steal another one. She tells a story of her great-great-grandmother, whose name was Gake, G-A-K-E, which in the Kenyan language called Kimeru means auntie or aunt. She's known as Gake, and she said many in the family didn't even know her real name. Everybody in the village called her Gake. That's who she was. She seemed to know everything in the village, everybody's business. She knew who, when, where, and what. She was the original search engine. She was Google before there was Google, right? She knew. She was the living archives. Well, the British came in. The British were part of Kenya, and they decided that the Church of England was going to build a church there, an outpost, to teach about who Jesus was. When they decided to build that church, Gake, Auntie, was the first one to volunteer. She helped carry things so the church would be built. She asked questions about it. She helped do things so the church would be built. And finally it was built, and they had their first service. And this young English pastor with a wonderful British accent, I'm sure, very young, came to do the service. He came in, and before the service started, Gate came, and as the story is told, sat right in the middle of the church. She was ready for it. She was engaged. You know, she knew this was her village and there was something important happening. She came and she sat, and this young pastor started to preach, and he'd preach in English, and they'd translate into Kimiru. And, it was kind of awkward, and he was a new guy, you know, wet behind the ears, fresh off the boat kind of thing. And so he preached for a while and told the message for a while, till finally, Gake must have got fed up. And so she stood up and said, "Pastor, I'll take it from here. I know what you're trying to say, and I know these people. So I'll preach from here on out." And told him to sit down. Don't any of you try that here. And as they tell the story, it said, you know, Gake talked and talked and talked. And when some people would get up, got fed up, you know, you'd say, "I preach long." When some people got fed up with what she was saying, they got up to leave, and she said, "You better sit down, or I'll tell them about the time when you..." And they would sit down. And the story is told, she preached from 10 to 3 in the afternoon, and she only quit because she lost her voice. Don't try that here. This young English pastor was not amused, to say the least. The next day, on Monday, he went to Gake's house, and he told her in no uncertain terms that she would never speak in church again. And the story has come down. Gake listened to him politely, is what her great-great-granddaughter says. Listened politely, then Gake turned to the pastor and said, "Are you saying that you and only you are the one that knows about God? Are you saying that you brought God here? Hasn't God always been here among us before you came? Are you the only one who could talk about God while the rest of us are supposed to sit quietly like a pile of firewood waiting to be tossed on a fire?" And Gake never went back to church. Her first time was her last time. And Pastor Grace, this wonderful Kenyan woman pastor in Milwaukee, says, "Why did the pastor do that? I mean, I'd be ticked off. He should have been, right? But he ought to have been smart enough to learn what the church is about. It's not his elephant. It's our elephant." What if, Grace speculates, this pastor would have said, "Thanks be to God who always goes ahead of us in our ministry. Thanks be to God who has provided me with an evangelist who knows the language and who knows the people. On Monday, I'm going to go visit her, and I'm going to teach her something, and I'm going to equip her, and I'm going to give her some limitations, and I'm going to train her so we can do it together." Instead, he said, "No, it's my elephant. Stay away from my elephant." And think of what was missed. Think of the team that could have happened. We here at Our Redeemers, we really try to let us all know it is our elephant. It's not my elephant or anybody else's elephant. This last summer, you heard two awesome sermons, and guess who did not give them? Me. Last week, Joanne Gregorosh, our lay leader, she knows it's our elephant. She stood up, you know, in front. I made her move from the pulpit to the middle. She stood up in front and told us how God wants to be in our hearts. And let me tell you, that was a powerful message, because she knew, you know, she's got to pull on the elephant if we're going to get fed. A month or so ago, you know, our choir director sitting over there was doing beautiful music, you know, stood in that pulpit, and I said, "Kathy, would you preach for us some Sunday?" You know, you figure I would have shot her or something. She was just, "What?" And she said, "I have something to tell about music," because Kathy knows it's our elephant. We all got to be pulling on it. And sometimes in churches, it's thought that the pulpit is the pastor's, right? No, it ought not be. In the time, you know, I've been here, we've had 70 to 80, close to 100 people share something from that place, because it's our elephant. It's not just my elephant. And we want to ask you for your support in this. Tonight, what's happening at 6:33? We need a gake in the house, don't we? What's happening tonight at 6:33? We have our worship service. We have a new worship service that we have worked at for a year. That we want a worship service that speaks in a different kind of way, perhaps to those who are younger, but speaks to all people. And we've built it around the notion that Pastor Bill's not pulling on the elephant. We all are. This is our first service tonight for the year, and we're going to continue. And guess who is not preaching? Me. And people, Pastor, you're starting a new service, and you're not doing the first one? You must be crazy. And the answer to that is, yes, I am. But what's the message? It's our church. And if we as a church, if we as a Methodist movement, if we as the Church of Jesus Christ in this place don't continue to grow in that understanding and turn over our ministry to the professionals. Pastor Bill's a professional, right? Maybe. If we just do that, what's going to happen? It's not going to grow. And the potential for ministry is not going to be here. I pray that you continue to help and support and pray for this service. We hope this service will be a different way of speaking God's grace and God's love and empowering people to minister into the community and into the world. We especially want it to be relevant and speak to those who are youth and young adults, because as we have heard in this service with the prayer concerns, we know that needs to be said. But I do want to say this as well. Some people, at least one person from the church came to me and says, I'm kind of upset that it's a young person's service that you're starting and that I can't come to it. Well, we have talked with the ministry team, and it is for young people. We do acknowledge that. And we did agree upon an age limit. So, you know, if you're under 150 years old, you're not allowed to come. Sorry for those of you that are. Actually, see me later and I'll sneak you in the side door. But the team said you have to be at least under 150 years old. Oh, to attend. And those are all young people, right? So the service is for everybody. We realize how important it is to begin to speak to that. We want to build this service. Tonight, we'll have high school small groups. We'll have junior high small groups. We have talked about having adult education after the Sunday evening service. We want to build on that. Secondly, we know also what happens on Sunday morning in our culture. Some people work. Are there any sports games here? For 20 years, since I was a pastor in Cary, we have fought that. You know, and it ought to be, right? Are those small town folks like me? Sunday morning ought to be for who? It ought to be for church. It ought to be for God. And I believe that, and I know a lot of you believe that, and that's just true. But I know when we ran into the sports, we ran into the sports. And I know cultures change. And I wonder if we just shouldn't have quit complaining about the way things were and just start conceiving the way things could be if we did it a little different and offered worship in a way where you could come. Because some folks have to work on Sunday morning. That is the way our culture is. Why should we not be offering worship at a different time? So we hope it's a time when you can come for worship tonight. It will be a little different. There's going to be a countdown before we start worship. Have you ever heard of that? I never have, but that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a way of speaking God's grace in a different kind of way. Our Ember Days band will be there. We'll use some video things. But the ministry potential, I think, is just awesome. And I think it's a lesson and a model for us to know it is our church. And we all need to be pulling. You know, some of you probably, you know, you just still come on Sunday morning. That's great. That's what we want to happen. We want this service to grow as well. But also ask yourself, as we begin this fall program, where are you pulling on the elephant? You know, if one of us have to pull the whole church, it's not going to get pulled, and they're going to get really tired. Or if it's just a few. But if we all pull, if we all have doing things where we're ministering to the needs in our community out of our faith, if we're involved in organization or process things in the church, if we are involved in prayer and discernment where God wants us to go individually, if you're taking what you learn and you're living it out in your work, in your neighborhood, with your friends, you know, we're all pulling. But if we're not all pulling, part of the elephant's going to get left behind. But when we all pull the elephant, what happens? We all eat. Yes, it's work. Yes, it's a burden sometimes. But we all get fed. when we all pull. Continue to pray for us. Continue to listen to what's going on. Pray for our young people that they might be in ways of love and grace with God. Come and check out what we do. I'm going to be kind of amazed myself with the stuff we're going to try. But it's important that we do it. So continue to keep us in your prayers. Let's now bow for prayer. Most holy and loving God, we thank you for the ways you call us. We ask now that you touch our church, bless us in ways of love and grace, help us grow spiritually, that we might get the love and the grace in that time of worship into more people's hearts who need us in this community. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.